Insight.
The music.
Insight.
The people.
Insight.
The songs.
Insight.
The developments.
Insight.
In November last year, the pirate radio ship Mi Amigo was raided by a party of police who took off the broadcasting staff claiming a contravention of the Marine Offences Act. They were said to have been broadcasting from within the three-mile limit. A few days later, in a North Sea gale, the master of the ship radioed for assistance from the Margate lifeboat. The anchor cable had snapped and the ship was in danger of running aground. And so ended the final chapter in the last of those seafaring pirates. The final episode concluded, Alan Freeman provides an insight into the reign of the pirates.
You're tuned to Radio Caroline on 199, England's first commercial radio station and your all-day music station.
Was part of the revolution. It was the thing that was in their homes every day. It was the realization for them that it was a little ship and a bunch of young people doing it against the entire sort of forces of the establishment. And I think it also, musically in any way, it totally revolutionized the music scene and established the idea in people's heads for once and for all that people wanted to be able to listen to music anytime they wanted to listen to music, day or night. Moment of decision to call this station Radio Caroline was made. I was flying across to America at the time, and right across the sort of center spread of the Washington Post was a photograph of President John F. Kennedy in his Oval Office, and climbing under his desk, disrupting the entire works of government, was one Caroline Kennedy. And she was smiling, and I felt the imagery that came off that, like the right center of power in America. This little girl smiling, sort of breaking up the whole established order of things, very much turned me on. And that's the moment when I said, that's got to be the name.
Caroline by the Fortunes, along with the voice of Ronan O'Reilly, the boss of that first ship which uncovered a demand for an all-day pop music service which was eventually to be provided by the BBC in the shape of Radio 1. Before that, you may remember, there was the old Light program.
A massive amount of music that was available on record and an album, especially American music, it was impossible to, you know, have it on the air, to be able to have radio plays on it. Because of the airtime, I mean, there was no BBC... pop. I mean, there were a few hours a week, and there was the nighttime Luxembourg thing that was just geared to the record company's needs, and a very limited amount of exposure. The system of broadcasting called, it's been called everything, offshore, pirate, international, everything, was the system that Radio Caroline put together. The doing of it was something that took a lot of people's energies, and there was a whole bunch of us at the time who were pretty wild and were pretty young and very rebellious, and the disc jockeys were brought aboard because of their kind of taste, and we had a certain kind of taste. I mean, you know, American music and Motown and, you know.
Supremes' Where Did Our Love Go from 1964, the year that saw the birth of pirate radio. Yet, initially, even Ronan O'Reilly's close friends had been skeptical about his scheme. Georgie Fame.
I used to go around to Ronan's flat quite a lot in Belgravia, and there was nothing really, just a bed and carpets and a great big plan of this pirate ship. And I didn't know what pirate ship was. What do you mean a pirate ship? He said, well, it's got a transmitter and everything, and they play music. He said, no, I'm going to get this.